Our lesson for this morning is taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 21. And Jesus here is speaking to a young man regarding his riches and his desire to get to heaven. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. 21 years ago this past week, a series of tornadoes ripped through southern Minnesota. One of the most famous from that streak of tornadoes was the one that hit the town of St. Peter, only 12 miles away, and tore up that town. They're still recovering from it. I remember a week or so after that, they put out a message that no children should go barefoot in St. Peter for the next 25 years because of all the glass, nails, and debris that there would be found throughout the city. There were close to 500 homes destroyed. I remember the day that night, the news camera was there looking at the main street, the Broadway that 169 goes through, and you could see trees down all over, no cars, of course, that were out. And all of a sudden, into the camera came one horse running down the street, and all loose, just running along the street. Up on the Gustavus campus, they lost over 1,000 trees. 80% of the windows were shattered and broken. And debris from all of these homes went through the city on out to the north edge of the town, about the place where you start to pick up speed going north from St. Peter. And in the trees, for months after this, you could see clothing and you could see boards and garbage just spread all the way throughout. They claim that farmers were finding children's toys in their fields years after this, spread way out. 130 miles away, debris from St. Peter was found in Wisconsin. Just think of that, 130 miles away. And I thought to myself oftentimes as I would drive past all that, think of all the things that we possess in this life and how quickly they can be taken away. And how quickly they can just become garbage, can just become debris. The man in the text before us had come to Jesus asking him about how to get to heaven. And he had made assumptions about himself that he was quite a good person and was looking at himself as if his life was in such good line with what God would want that God would certainly let him into heaven based on his goodness. And Jesus is able to look into this man's heart and to see, just like he can see into our hearts and recognize this about us too, how attached this man was to his earthly possessions. How attached his heart was to all the stuff that we can get in this world. And this is a frequent address of our Lord to talk to us about this because it's such an important matter. The materialism and the greed and the covetousness that can rise up in our souls can be such a great spiritual danger to us. So Jesus gives this very simple statement. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In ancient Jewish texts, one that was called the Talmud, was kind of a commentary on the Bible, the rabbis said it's even easier for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man. This was a common type of saying in Jesus' day. So Jesus is suggesting to this young man, and he's suggesting it to us too today through his word, that if you would like to test your ability to truly forsake the world, then imagine that you were to take everything that you possess and give it away to the poor. And let's see if you would be willing to do that entirely in order to possess heaven. He just uses that as a little glimpse into the greed and the covetousness and the materialism that can grow so easily inside of our hearts. Now, the challenge that we often have as Christians, and I know I certainly do, is this. We know, because of what God has taught us in His Word and through what Christ has done, we know that heaven is what we should be striving for and longing for, and that should be the focus of our life and of our hearts. But we kind of lie to ourselves and convince ourselves, I can have both that and run at the same time toward the things of this world. What if I could possibly make it so I could have both? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be great if I could possess and mount up for myself great things in this life and at the same time still have heaven out in front of me and in a sense have my heart have kind of a dual purpose to it? But Jesus comes and just cuts that out of our hearts when he says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. When Lot and his wife and daughters left the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah as they were being destroyed and were told by God not to look back, I wonder at what point it was that Lot's wife turned and looked back, probably at the nice house that she had had in those cities and maybe some of the possessions that they had. What are the things that might cause me or you in our lives to kind of turn our gaze away from what God wants and back toward the materialism of this world? Jesus is not addressing here how much a person has, so much as he is addressing what our hearts do with whatever we have. Or even the fact that we may lack everything. We may be in extreme poverty, but still have a longing for the wealth and the riches of this world. And he wants us to kind of do a spiritual checkup. On the day that my mom passed away, I was about 28, 29 years old. And on the day that she died, we had just come to see her the day before and had spent a nice day with her. And her death was rather unexpected. She was 63. But earlier that day, she had been trying to figure out, there was a piece of Tupperware in our house that somebody had loaned her with some food in it, and she couldn't remember who gave this to her, and she kept asking my dad and trying to figure this out, and it consumed a number of minutes of her day trying to figure out who this piece of Tupperware belonged to. And that very night, the Lord called her to her eternal home. And after I came back teary-eyed from the hospital, I came in the back door, and here sitting on the counter was this stupid piece of Tupperware. And I just picked it up, and my eyes were filling with tears. And I thought to myself, what a lesson for me on how there's so many things in my life that can consume my time and my energy that are just so stupid and so meaningless as just a piece of plastic. And here in the very day that God calls my mom home, and she was ready. She was spiritually ready. But it made me really take stock of my own heart. What are the things in my life that get in my way of really keeping myself prepared for the day that my Lord may call me out of this life? You know, in what tree or in what dumpster or in what farmer's field will all the things that can consume us someday be sitting where someone else can find them as junk? Now, this is a difficult saying for us because our hearts are so attached to the things of this world. And Jesus' disciples likewise come to him and say, well, Lord, if this is true, who can be saved? Is it possible for anybody to actually have real faith and to get to heaven someday? Because we're so attached to the stuff of this world. And Jesus provides this beautiful answer. With men, this is impossible. It's impossible for human hearts to create faith. But he says, with God, all things are possible. God, through his word and through the sacrament of baptism, can take our sinful, materialistic, dead hearts and give them hearts of faith, to create in us a desire to love Christ, to appreciate how he paid for all of our sins, even our greed and covetousness on the cross, and to give us the wonderful hope that we have before us of going to heaven. And this alone is the work of God. It's impossible for me to do in my heart, but God is the one that can create this inside of us. And thanks be to God when he's done that. Think how fantastic your heaven that's waiting for you must be. The Son of God did not come down into this world to buy you good stuff in this life, because none of that was worth his time. But heaven, the riches of heaven, that was worth his time, his energy, his very life for you. And he promises you, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Back in the Old Testament, Moses gave up living in a palace of splendor with the unbelieving Egyptians, and he turned his back on that in faith, all of that opulence and worldly wealth, for the difficulty of going with God's enslaved people, freed now to go back to the promised land of Canaan. May that be the picture that God uses for us as well in our hearts as his children, to turn our back on the wealth of this world as we look forward and travel with the members of his church toward the wonderful promised land of life in heaven. Something that's impossible in our hearts by us to do, and yet, thank God, very possible by him through his work of the Holy Spirit. Amen.